Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, I think we're here today to apologize and as a team. You know, I think those opinions were expressed by everybody in here today.
Justin Verlander and the Astros yesterday speaking with the media for the first time. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Verlander's always been extremely outspoken about cheating in baseball. He once said about a player that got popped for steroids that he should be banned from the game forever for the first time he got suspended. Yet, he was pretty quiet when he was with the Astros benefiting from their scandal and saga. I mean, I guess there is some question about how plugged in the pitchers were on what was going on. I know I've heard from people that occasionally the pitchers were asked to and involved with banging the trash can. But who knows what Gerrit Cole or what Justin Verlander knew. Cole is saying that he basically was fairly unaware of the entire thing. He wasn't with the team in 17. He got there in 18. I don't believe that for one second. I told you yesterday. He basically made it sound like he didn't know they were doing this, mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's the case. Because I know for a fact that I have a buddy of mine who pitches in the big leagues, and he told me that when his team visited the Astros in 2017, Dallas Keuchel actually said to one of the players on his team, basically like, yeah, man, we got some Bush League stuff going on around here. Like,
really?
We're doing some Bush League stuff. Said that to him. Like, it was so well known around baseball with the other teams that in 2017, I would think Gerrit Cole, who was not an Astro, would have known that they were doing something odd. And then when you get there, might come up at some point. He's also making it seem like, well, they stopped. It was only 2017 before I was there. I don't believe that for a second.
I don't believe
either.
That for one second. Again, Tom Boswell is a great piece in the Post with Kurt Suzuki quoted, and the things the Nationals had to do in 2019 in the World Series. Suzuki references the whistling that you could hear coming out of the dugout, which, by the way, having been there, you could hear it coming out of the dugout. You could hear it on the telecast as well. You couldn't hear it when the place got really, really loud. So, ironically, in great moments for the Astros, when people are excited, they could cheat less, which, you know, is just, I guess, kind of coincidental. It's sort of how those things go.
Unless they had the buzzers, if they actually were wearing buzzers.
If they had buzzers, exactly right. And, you know, the fact that this was so readily apparent, so obvious, and just so clear to the Nationals that they had to do this sort of stuff should be pretty clear to everybody. The line that this was a 2017 thing only, despite everything that we know, is nonsense. It's nonsense.
Yeah, I can't get behind that. Verlander says that he wishes he could go back and have done more than he did about the cheating. So he obviously is admitting to have known about it.
It's been difficult showing up in 2017. Once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. Looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
I wonder how much this will taint a guy like Verlander, because there's no evidence to believe that it helped or benefited him. Now, if you believe Trevor Bauer, you know, the Astros also go further than everybody else in terms of cheating to help their pitchers. I stop short, I guess, of using the word cheating, because I think everyone uses some type of substance and doctors the ball with some kind of, whether it's pine tar or sunscreen or liquid of some type that's mm-hmm. sticky to help themselves with grip. I think most of baseball pitchers do it. I remember one time asking someone with the Nats, I've told this story, Jeremy Hellickson was pitching for the Phillies, and he legitimately had what was like a black substance on his arm.
Clear as day.
He has shaved arms. And there was like a black, looked like pine tar, like right on his arm. And he would keep kind of going to it with his fingers. It was almost clear, but like a little bit of a color to it.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of wipe his pointer in his middle right fingers right before every pitch, and he grabbed the ball. And I texted someone with the Nats. I said, you have to be seeing this. Like, why don't you guys do something about this? And they said, because if we do something about it, then all of our guys who do that are in trouble. And that's not quote-unquote cheating. That's, I don't want to say, I guess it is allowed.
It is cheating, yeah.
But it's cheating that's allowed. It's like one of those unwritten rules where every team does it and it's understood and you don't check because it's for the grip and quote-unquote the safety of the batter and all these wacky things.
Now, blanking on the guy, was a Yankees pitcher that clearly had the stuff on his hat, on the back of his hat, so you couldn't even see the Yankee logo anymore. He kept going to it. And he was dealing, and
yeah,
it was so obvious.
There have been so many guys like that over the years, like Kenny Rogers. I can't even remember specifically who you're referencing.
Me neither.
It happens a lot.
Right,
there are pitchers today that come in, and their hat is discolored and gross, and it's like, we don't care about that. So I can't really get up in arms if the Astros are doing that, because I think everybody is. But Bauer's point is, I am a spin rate guy, and I've tried for the last several years to learn everything I can to improve my spin rate, because the better your spin rate is, the better a pitcher you're going to be. And his point is, when guys go to the Astros, they go from basically like 2,200 RPMs to 2,800 RPMs on the way to the plate.
Yeah.
That doesn't just happen.
And, of course, some
his point is that's like your hat size growing, you know, a half of a hat size at like 38 years old.
Yeah, when Barry Bonds turned 36, next thing you know, he wore a bigger hat. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
So I'm sure he's on to something. I'm sure there's something to it. But my point is, with the sign stealing with these pitchers, I wonder for a Hall of Famer like Verlander how it will reflect against him for not saying anything. George Springer was actually asked about that, and he talked about the thumb we got to cut, why players didn't speak up. It's super easy for us to say that they should have, but it's the equivalent at your workplace of coming out and saying something nefarious and bad is going on where you're out of a job, you don't know if you get another job, and everybody you know and like hates you all of a sudden. I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, but I think it's easier to say when sitting on the outside eating popcorn that people should have been doing it. Here's what Springer said.
We haven't been together. You know, we've all been separated. We've been all over the country at home. And I think it's more important to stand together as a team and try and send one message as opposed to being spread out and you know, saying different things.
So everyone just stays together and doesn't say anything until they got together at spring training, and that's why they went months with no comment. The last cut I want to play from yesterday is Josh Reddick, who he was the one player who went further than his teammates to basically say, listen here, other teams do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Astros, if you noticed, they refused to apologize when prompted a couple times. Hey, apologize to the Dodgers. You know, what do you want to say to the Yankees, who you eliminated from the playoffs a couple times during these runs? And they wouldn't say sorry. They wouldn't say, oh, we owe them, or, you know, it's disappointing that they got beat while we were cheating. And the reason why is they believe that those teams are cheating too.
Uh-huh.
I know they think the Yankees are cheating because Beltran came from Houston, to Houston from New York and said, hey, you got to update your file. But Reddick basically said, he uses the word normal, like, well, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. We just thought this is what people were doing. Here was Reddick yesterday.
It just seemed like it was a part of the way things were working that way. And you know, I think the only way we can really approach that is that we were sorry for what we did and how it was handled and how it wasn't handled at times as well. So it's just a matter of it is what it is. It happened. And we ask for the forgiveness of everybody and we just move on and try to move forward to 2020 and focus on winning.
They genuinely think that they are being vilified.
Singled out,
and
yeah,
that so much of this is overblown because there are other teams doing it and they're not the big bad wolf. They really think that. And that came through, I think, in that Reddick cut there. Here's my question. Danny, I want you to give me your answer next, and I want to get some calls on this if we can get a few of you to hop in at 800-636-1067. Do you think the Astros are going to get drilled purposefully way more often this year because of this, yes or no? I asked a pitcher in the American League about this yesterday. I want to say, pass along what I'll read the text. I won't tell you who it is, but I'll just read the text and tell you what they told me. But I want to know what you guys think. Do you think they're going to get beaned often? Do you think the first pitch of the season, someone's going to take one in the back of the numbers? Or are we at a point in baseball where that doesn't happen enough, or people are not going to give them the benefit of, you know, putting base runners on against a team that's already really good? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're also on Twitter.
At Funny Danny for me. At Grant H. Paulson for Grant H. Paulson.
Mike Garofolo of NFL Network on the Redskins releasing Josh Norman 15 minutes from right now. The Astros spoke with the media for the first time since we found out how serious their sign-stealing scandal was a couple of months ago, yesterday at their spring training facility. And as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, the question I've got for you is, do you think that pitchers are going to take it into their own hands and they're going to do everything that they can to get even in game by purposefully hitting Astros with pitches? Do you think they'll be marked men this year, so to speak? That's my question at 800-636-1067. I asked a buddy of mine who pitches in Major League Baseball about that. He said, I am sure some guys might, and I think it's probably warranted, but I think in today's game, most guys will not do anything. He went on to say that there's a lot of people in baseball, you and I are like this, mm-hmm. although we're not in baseball, who think that pitchers purposefully hitting batters shouldn't have any place in the game to begin with. And he said basically that's seeped into the thinking of some pitchers as well. So he said there's a lot of guys that just will not do that. He said, I'll answer your question with my own question. Is this a scenario where it is okay to hit them more? So answer that first.
Right. Yes. Well, hold on.
Because you're against beanball like I am.
I am vehemently against it.
It'd be hypocrisy to now say hit them on purpose.
So this is a tough way to answer. I'm going to use circuitous language and probably be really annoying. Binary, yes or no. I'm still a please stop throwing an orb 95 miles an hour that can do serious damage to people just because you're personally offended. Stop that. Handle it like, find a better way to handle it. If you're still asking me, do I want people throwing it others, the answer is no, unequivocally no to that. If you're asking me now, is it closer to being okay, in my opinion, based on this? My answer is yes. I still don't want people thrown at, even if you cheated, even if you disrespected the game, the integrity of the game, or this, that, and the other. We need to stop throwing at people. That needs to stop happening. But it's more okay now. I'd be less mad about it now than because somebody homered off you 3 years ago and you didn't like the way that they handled themselves. Hunter Strickland.
Of course, varying degrees, you know what I mean? Nuance, sure. I mean, is it okay then to hit a guy that you know used steroids?
No. Again, it's still not okay.
Same thing. He cheated.
Right. It's more likely to be okay. It's more okay on the spectrum for me, but it's still not okay.
So you're saying it's not okay to purposefully hit Alex Bregman. You're just not going to be as upset that
someone does. I wouldn't
be
as upset about it.
Would you feel the same way about hitting a known steroid guy?
I wouldn't. And the reason is guys who are doing steroids are trying to get the payday. Right, and they're trying to do whatever they can to stay in the big leagues, or you know, it's a guy that's like, that's hurt all the time, and it's kind of a personal recovery. You still got to hit my pitch, right? There's still my deception, there's still my excellence that you have to deal with. That's removed when you cheat in this way. This to me is a far greater offense than somebody putting a needle in their butt. You still got to lift the weights. You don't just do a needle, or you don't just take a pill. Next thing you know, you're a great hitter. You've still got to put in an awful lot of work. This removes that. This makes 200 hitters 300 hitters. This makes marginal bench bats into stars, and you're taking my job away from me at that point. I know that some people don't draw that moral distinction between steroids and this kind of thing. This, to me, is a far greater scandal than somebody taking performance-enhancing drugs, because there's no greater advantage in this sport than knowing what's coming.
I agree that it's a bigger deal than using steroids, but I think cheating in this case is cheating, so to speak, to simplify it. In other words, if it's quote-unquote more okay to hit someone because they stole signs, then I would say it is more okay to hit someone because they use steroids. I don't justify it as being more okay, though, for me. I'm not of the belief that you know, that it should be something that should be done. Now, the next part of this is, will it happen? And I think this is a great response on Twitter from Nats Rally Malady. He says, I don't think they get beaned by the average pitcher. He doesn't think it's going to happen a lot. He said, but I do think there will be problems when they run into some old school guys like Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner and Team America World Police.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. There are going to be a couple guys that will decide they're the guardians, right?
Bumgarner's probably one.
Yeah, they're going to be the guy to do this on behalf of everybody else.
And I think that will happen. I think there will be guys that pay the price to get hit by pitches. But do I think it'll be a universal kind of system-wide thing where every series someone's getting beaned, where the first batter of the season for them gets hit? I don't think that. I think that would be really telling. I stop short of using the word cool just because I don't like hitting batters on purpose, but I think it would be super revealing if on opening day, the opening batter of the game, the first pitch to an Astro, right in the ribs. Now, you wouldn't do that because the opening base runner's on, really good lineup. All of a sudden, you're battling to get out of a little bit of a jam. But it would be a pretty big sign for baseball if that happened. I also think that you just don't see it in the game anymore. Here's one more question I want to pose to you. This same guy I'm talking to, American League pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
His point was that this sign-stealing thing would not have gotten this far decades ago because players around baseball learned and knew about it, and they would have purposefully hit guys. And we argue all the time.
Huh?
He says, you got to understand this is how we police our game. If we can't police our game, things are going to get off the rails. And his point is, this is an example. He says, this never would have been possible to happen to this extent because they would have been getting drilled all the time. Guys would be going to the DL, the IL. Guys would be missing games, and they would be tired of getting beaned. So they would stop doing what they were doing.
So in this case, I agree with that. But his idea previously of the game will be off the rails because the guy's happy he homered.
Right.
Because there's a choreographed celebration. Now, I don't like that stuff. I don't enjoy it. But let's settle down with off the rails, okay? To Brian McCann.
That's my phrase, not his.
Yeah,
his point is that the game doesn't run itself if you can't hit these guys. And he was talking, I think it was to, well, I won't say who it was, but he was talking to a former player who was a great player, Hall of Famer from this team that everyone's heard of.
Uh-huh.
And he said, basically, my conversation with that guy was, and his point was, I would call and make sure that we hit batters every single time I saw someone stealing signs at second base. Not because that's illegal or not supposed to do it, but I want them to do it less, and they're going to think about it. So if I saw a guy steal a sign at second, the next chance we had where a run wasn't at stake, we're hitting a dude as fast as possible. And when we're doing it, I'm telling that guy that's because you stole the sign. And so it alleviates some of that. And his point is, if we still hit people on purpose, you wouldn't have what the Astros did in 17, 18, and maybe 19.
I buy that, actually, to be honest with you. It's a price I'm willing to pay, by the way, to not have guys hit with 96-mile-an-hour fastballs. This is a practice when some dude named, you know, Oil Can Timmons, throwing 77 because he worked at the steel mill all day and is exhausted, was out there, you know, running muck balls up there because he threw 200 innings this week. That's when this practice started, and it's never been updated by the fact that it's way deadlier now. It's way more impactful now because everybody throws a million miles an hour. So I do buy that, by the way. I mean, I could think of an example where James Madison thought that I was relaying signs from second base, so the poor kid hitting after me had to wear one on the shoulder, and he ended up hitting him in the funny bone in the elbow, and he couldn't extend his arm for a couple days. And that's the thing, and it sucks.
Ouch. Let's go to Chris in Alexandria on G&D. What's up, Chris? Do you think the Astros are going to get beaned more often than maybe we're expecting this season?
I think there might be some of that, but I actually think the bigger thing that's going to potentially happen is, and I think this also helps with Dusty being the manager, or it helps, you know, the opposition, is I think the umpires in Major League Baseball and the other teams are going to say, you guys have now a different strike zone and for the entire year. And they're going to say, Dusty, if you complain once, you know, you might as well just forget about it.
Oh, we lost you. Damn. I don't know what happened there. You're rolling. So I don't know that you can give them a different strike zone, but I do think, to your point, if you're Dusty, if you're a player on that team, you can't get as upset as quickly as you would about getting hit. Because you just like getting in trouble or getting hit after you bunt to break up a no-hitter. When you know it's coming, when you know mm-hmm. you did something wrong, you just kind of have to wear it. Literally and figuratively, and maybe they're going to have to do that a little more, to your point. Dre, Manassas, how are you, pal?
Hey, Dre.
Andre, you there? I wonder if something happened to the phones.
Fun with phones.
Which is a good time for everybody involved.
Fun with phones.
If Mike Garofalo can join us, he will be on the show with us next. Josh Norman was released by the Redskins today. Garofalo broke the news on NFL Network, so he'll be stopping by. Final thought on this from Timma on Twitter, which did not go down a moment ago. He said, I think if MLB punishes the players, they won't get thrown out as much. If no punishment's dished out, I hope the Astros step to the plate in hockey pads. Well, that's a good zing. No punishment's getting dished out. Spring training started. If that was happening, it would have already happened. Garofalo next. Our double play on a Friday is normally winning off the field, but we're bringing back It's Fine today on Grant and Danny. At noon, we're going blitzing around the Beltway. And in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get you set for a big weekend in sports, including the NBA All-Star Weekend festivities and weekend number two here in D.C. for the D.C. Defenders of the XFL. But right now, on the Mattress Warehouse hotline, Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, who broke the news this morning that the Redskins are releasing Josh Norman. Mike, not particularly a surprise, but give me a thought on the timing. Is this one of those kind of Friday dumps, if you will, where maybe they make a couple more moves in the next 24 hours or so? Your thoughts on why today was the day to move on from Norman? I don't think we have Mike, are you there? All right. I'm going to throw him on hold. So maybe we do have a phone issue.
Maybe there is one.
We're told there was no phone issue.
Ah.
I'm going to bet against that.
I'm
going to
say phone issue.
We'll get Mike Garofalo on in the next few minutes, ideally. But let's see if we have him now. Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
We did that.
It's just radio, man.
Very sophisticated radio show.
Number six market in the country, doing a radio interview with the guy we like from NFL Network. All right, Mike. So, Josh Norman, why today?
I think there is a level of respect for Ron Rivera and Josh Norman that if we let him go now, he can go find his next landing spot, get a chance to work ahead of free agency. You're seeing Greg Olsen go through that right now, including with the Redskins. So if you're going to be let go as a veteran, you want it to happen as soon as possible so you can figure out your landing spot, get out there and make visits well in advance of, in this case, possibly the combine. So you can get ahead of that where teams start to figure out, hey, who's going to be available free agent wise and who can we nab there? So I think that was probably a little bit of a part of it. As far as the decision itself, I just gather that this team is going to want to go young in a number of spots. So despite the fact that Rivera is there and has a history with Norman, and those two have I believe they even went out to dinner recently. So, those two have communicated, and I don't know at what point it became clear to Norman that he was going to be released, but I know that today was the day where they made it official and said, okay, you're going to be free and have a chance to go find your next spot.
Mike, what's the national view of him? He still thinks he's great. Just ask him. But I think Redskins fans and people around here have known that he's not only lost one step, but he lost about 277 steps, and he can't run with anybody anymore and is only effective in very special circumstances where the weather's nice and, receivers only run one of two routes. To me, he can't play, and he can't play at a high level. What's the national view of him, though?
Yeah, I think a lot of people understand that, the situation hasn't been the best in Washington, certainly the last year, if not maybe the last couple, with a lot of people not being on the same page there. So you wonder if, look, there's his play tailing off. There's him aging, whatever it is. And then at some point, there's got to be a lack of desire or motivation or whatever it is because of how bad things were there, particularly after the Jay Gruden firing. So, you sit there as a team, you say, hey, maybe we can get this guy on the cheap. He comes in and he can be motivated to prove people wrong because we've seen over the years with him how much the mental part of the game is a factor for him. So I don't know. If you get him motivated and maybe he shows you, hey, I've got more ball left than people think because what you saw of me on the field was a shell of who I was because I was just checked out. I think those are the things that teams are going to want to hear as they move forward and get in contact with Norman and his agent and potentially bring him in for visits and get him face to face and look him in the eye and see if this is a guy that maybe could have just used the chance to change the scenery at this point.
And he'll need to change the scenery. It was one of the strangest endings I've seen in a while here in December. He was benched behind guys they'd sign on Thursday who I'd never heard of. And they were paying him millions of dollars, and they weren't deactivating him. He was active. He was up, just burning a roster spot. And it's like, oh, well, they just want to stay on good terms. Who cares? Why? But anyway, he's on his way out.
Well, yeah, and he was being asked to do some scout team stuff, which I did not sit well with him. And I remember asking about that, and they said, you know, look, just to be crystal clear, we ask guys to do this all the time. Sometimes we're shorthanded in areas. You know, Brandon Scherf has had to do it from time to time, and a couple other guys they mentioned. So it wasn't necessarily, in their minds, a sign of disrespect. Just, you know, hey, look, you're not starting for us right now, and this is what guys who aren't starters have to do from time to time. But I do know that that was not something that he was pleased about. So, you know, it was an awkward situation, to say the least, down the stretch here. And just watching him, you could see he wasn't in it. You could see that a guy that usually has that passion when he speaks to the media didn't have it. You know, he almost looked like he wanted to kind of dig in and start talking the way that he usually talks, and then just couldn't bring himself to do it. He wanted to take the high road, I guess you could say. So there's got to be a lot of pent up frustration, aggravation, whatever you want to call it. And if you're, again, if you're his next team, you think maybe he's got a lot of that in reserve and a desire to prove people wrong, as he did early in his career. Because remember, I mean, he considered himself a top corner early in his career, and a lot of steps along the way wasn't shown that respect. And I think that helped him play well when he was playing well, certainly at the tail end of his time with Carolina and the early part of when he was at Redskins. So if you can tap back into that again and be able to get that guy on the cheap as one of your final pieces, that's going to be something that people are going to explore.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network reporter. You should be following him on Twitter at Mike Garofolo. Mike, how about Quentin Dunbar? You know, he asked for a trade, then he backed off from that. He wants to be paid. He's actually a pretty good player when he's on the field. He's an up-and-coming corner who, you know, they started as a wide receiver. And we don't have a lot of these stories around here, but he's a success as an undrafted free agent. But he's not very happy. What does today's news do for Dunbar, do you think?
You don't sit there as Dunbar and say, oh boy, look what they did to Josh Norman. I mean, everybody knows that it was pretty much a matter of when, I guess, with Norman.
The only way just mean in terms back, of the money. They freed up $12 million bucks at that position.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, listen, every player who's looking to get paid says, well, okay, there's some more money in the kitty that you can send my way for sure. I think it's going to be more than that. It's going to be, you know, his meeting with Rivera, which I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Was that supposed to happen this week or next week? I forget exactly when it was supposed to happen. But for those guys to get on the same page and understand what they're looking at as they move forward here, and is he considered an integral piece? I think, you know, it's more so than the money. But I'll say this, and this factors into Trent Williams as well. A lot of times when you're changing regimes, You don't know how much stock to put into what guys are telling you, but you know how much stock to put into the dollars that they send your way. So when we look to, hey, what's the commitment for guys going forward, it's going to be in dollars and cents, and that's how they're going to judge it. So if I'm Dunbar, I'm making my play right now. Heck, if I'm a veteran coming to the tail end of my deal, I'm making a play right now, because, you know, you got to cash in whenever you can cash in. I put Trent Williams in that boat, and there are a couple other guys I'm sure you could put in that boat as well on this team right now. So, yeah, everybody's going to be lining up at the door looking for their payday in the next couple of weeks and months. And I don't begrudge Dunbar for doing it right now, whether it was a formal trade request or whatever it was. You know, dig in and know your worth and make a play for it right now.
Mike, not to be flippant about it, because we're talking about jobs and, you know, and families having to move here, but who might be another Josh Norman for this Redskins club that might make sense for them to move on from here at this juncture, if they're kind of cleaning some house now before the offseason really ramps up?
Yeah, I mean, what are your inflated salaries at this point? I mean, Paul Richardson, maybe?
Richardson, maybe Jordan Reed?
Well, Jordan Reed's an interesting one, because I don't know I don't know about the retirement end of things, and a lot of times guys won't officially retire. I've heard some rumblings about that. I mean, I don't want to go out there and say the guy's going to retire, and he's got to make his own decision on that. We know about his continued health issues, but if you retire and walk away, you basically punt any injury money that can come your way, and under the CBA, you're up for $1 million in injury protection. If you're cut basically by a team and it's because you're not healthy enough. So, you know, that could be one that could take a little bit to play out. So I'd put those two guys up on that list. Richardson's number is not huge, I don't think. It's what, 5 million, 6 million, something like that? But, you know, if you're looking at your returns as you now go forward here and try and reset the table and bring in your own guys, not the free agents of a previous regime, you know, yeah, I'd put them on that list.
Mike Garofolo, tremendous information and the breaking news today from him that Josh Norman is being released by the Redskins, covered in detail with us. Thanks so much, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it, boys. Thank you.
Be well. Always good. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play today. It's fine. You call us at 800-636-1067 to tell us about a slight, something that hadn't gone very well for you, but everything's going to be okay. Next. Instead of winning off the field on this Friday, we'll run back a segment that some of you enjoyed a couple of times. Others may want to take part in today. The segment is called It's Fine, Danny.
It's fine. Just explain why something is fine. I can give an example if you'd like. I'll tell you how something is fine. We are renting our condo. We've got tenants. We're excited about all that. That's all settled, nice and done. To get the unit ready to be rented, we put a nice fresh coat of paint on there. We had someone do it. We paid monies. We went and got the right paints. So we went and did it.
Time out before you keep going.
Uh-huh.
You still have your condo?
Yeah.
I thought you told me like a few days ago that things were looking up.
Yeah, we have tenants. They're coming. Like we're all locked in.
Okay,
I see. What's your confusion?
So for some reason, I thought you were selling it. I forgot that you were renting it.
Right, we're renting it out.
Okay.
So the tenants coming in, we're excited to have them. I can't wait for this to go forward. They'd like to repaint the unit.
That you just painted.
It's fine. We just painted it. It's fine. It's fine. You're more than welcome to do that. It's fine that you're doing that. Like, again, I'm not mad.
It's a great example.
I want you to know that it's fine. I paid the money. I had someone come do it. I had to make arrangements.
Do you regret that at all?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I got to work today. I came down South Capitol Street, banged a little right on some random street to be named later, turned left to go into a little side street to get into our little parking garage because every road is closed, but it's fine. There's construction literally on every street corner, and it's fine as well. And I can't get anywhere I need to go near our workplace, but that's also extremely fine. So I pull up at work, and I'm waiting to get into the parking garage. And for those of you that have never been to our parking garage, which is almost every single
one of you listening, most of you probably haven't, yeah.
Know that there are basically two little paths to get there. So we go one and one, like you're merging on to 395 in the heat of rush hour.
In the heat.
So there's like a four-car backup where I am, and there's a four-car backup in another direction. So there's eight of us trying to get into this garage. We have to pull up. Best case scenario, someone actually pays to be there for the full month. They just scan a card, and the gate lifts open. Worst case scenario, they're actually paying to come in, and they're pushing and getting a ticket.
And they're overmatched by it.
They're talking for some reason for an extended period of time to a parking attendant. So there's several cars backed up ready to get in. We're going one and one. So it's now my turn. I'm the closest car, right? And I say, you may go, one and one. The guy in front of me just went. Now it's your turn from the other lane. You get to go. Except that the car behind that person went too. Two cars went.
I would be so
upset. We're very obviously going one and one here. I go, you go. Person behind me goes, person behind you goes. Two cars. That's really ballsy in that situation, by the way.
Yes, it is.
When you do that in traffic.
You're so special. You can't possibly be expected to wait.
I don't even mean that. I mean, that's obviously ridiculous that you think you're so much more important than everyone else. I just mean that in traffic, I'll never see you again. I don't know who you are. I'll never probably make eye contact with you. Two in one, and you're just a car to me. You're a Dodge Caravan. Mm-hmm. You know, you are a Ford Blazer. You are whatever you are, okay? I don't know what a Blazer is.
Chevy Blazer, yeah.
Chevy Blazer. Mm-hmm. Ford Explorer.
Yep.
In this situation, we're both going to the parking garage. So I now can park right next to you and look at you and say, you're the idiot that went two and one. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's really, really gutsy to do that. But the fact that they did that, very maddening.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. I still got to the parking garage. It's fine that they went two and one in a one and one situation. Fine.
One more quick one, if I may, before we get to the phone calls. As you know, I am a trailblazer around these around this radio station.
A Chevy trailblazer.
A Chevy trailblazer. The venture into the world of Cameo, right? Cameo.com/Diruye. Thank you, Coach. And I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Everything's fine. I'm watching the Junkies producers do their 75th of the day, numbers approximate. They have blown past me. They're way more popular than me. I had to convince them. I had to sell them on it, and now they're have a way more lucrative practice than I do. People care about them, and no one cares about me. That's fine.
Very fine.
It's fine. It's fine that they're doing 10,000 times more than me per day. It's fine.
You're a little bit salty.
No, Grant, I've been very clear how fine it is. It's fine.
It sounds like you're the most fine. Bill just tweeted me and says he wants to listen to me and Logan Paulson calling the Defenders game tomorrow, but normal radio signal will not be able to reach him. He says it's fine.
It's fine.
You can listen, by the way, Bill, worldwide on the radio.com app. If you don't have the app, download it now. You can listen to the Defenders game in full tomorrow on the stream, which will be pretty good for you. Let's go to Spencer in Ashburn. Spencer, what's fine?
Grant and Danny, how are you guys doing today?
Doing very well.
Fine.
Woke up a little later than I would have liked, but it's fine.
It's fine.
I hear you. So I've got about 4 miles worth of gasoline in my car, and I pull over to a nice cheap gas station, something reliable, a gas station you can count on. Get out of the car. Wind is howling. It is frigid cold outside. Trying to use my credit card to pump gas. The credit card reader is broken, not functioning. And as I learn, the gas attendant were aware of this since last night. But no signs. It's fine.
You had to walk into the gas station to pay, didn't you?
Sure did.
There's nothing. I mean, this is the most white-collar problem ever. But when you expect to get out of your car, scan your card, get back in your car, and go on your way, the 20 steps into the 5 seconds of paying and the 20 seconds back to your car might as well be running a marathon.
And there's always 18 dudes in line who want like a Mountain Dew, and that's all you're
one guy wants a scratch off. Yeah. The other guy wants a Mountain Dew. Someone's eating a Slim Jim for
the
some
worst.
Reason. It is insanity when gas stations aren't accepting debit cards. It is really, really tough. But you're right. It is fine. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Rich and Olney. Hey, Rich.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So 98% of the time, I put my 2-year-old to bed. It's kind of my job. Last night, the wife goes, "You want me to take him to bed?" Like, of course I do. That's awesome. She goes, "All right, hold him for a second. Let me just get his milk." She goes to the kitchen. Baby has coughing attack, vomits all over me. But it's fine.
Yeah.
It's very fine. It's fine. Maddie in Stafford, what's up?
Maddie.
Eric Arnold unfollowed me on Twitter. No, really, it's fine.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
That's so many worlds colliding. That's perfect.
Eric Arnold used to produce Chad's show. He has since left the station, and because, I guess, Matt and Stafford no longer calls into his shows, he's decided he doesn't need to see Matt's content. That's the best call ever. It popped me.
It got me.
Let's go to Benjamin in Fairfax. Hey, Benjamin.
Hey, guys. Been a fan of the show for a long time.
You're sweet.
Seeing Danny stand up.
Oh, nice.
And I wanted to support him on Cameo, so I asked him to kick a field goal, and he didn't. It's fine.
It's fine.
Weird that Danny didn't actually kick the field goal that you asked him to kick. You can get in line.
Thank you for supporting the team, though.
I'm in that line. That one wraps around the block. We're all waiting for Mr. 19 out of 20 from 40 yards to swing that right leg.
Sorry, Ben.
Bobby in Illinois.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, so yesterday we had a staff lunch at work. There was supposed to be free pizza. I got there 5 minutes late, and they ran out, so I decided to skip the meeting. Went and got my own lunch. As I'm pulling out of the drive-thru, they sent an email saying they had gotten more pizza. It's fine.
Thanks, guys, but don't worry, because it's fine. The Beltway Blitz at noon. The three teams in town you care the most about is coming your way at the top of the hour. 12:18. Now, the dunk contest is one of those things that gets bashed every single year. Try to put together a little list of things in sports that everyone looks forward to but always hates and always complains about. I think that could be fun. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan on Josh Norman, no longer a Redskin dad. Bye. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.